So many places in Scripture command us to be holy, you know, be perfect. And so, okay, I want to obey, so I'm going to try to be holy and be perfect without the understanding of how to, like we've discussed in the last podcast, you know.
Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 177, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Gruenberg, and we have Associate Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have Retired Pastor Barry Sweet, and we have our Youth and Family and Praise Leader Director, Jordan Kettlewell, and myself, Dana Hall, as the moderator. And the last couple of podcasts, the series is on holiness. And today, we'd like to start off with a pretty bold question. Are there any risks or even any dangers with that we should look out for when we're attempting to achieve holiness? So I'll let you guys jump in.
One, I think, just as a transition from our previous podcast, is trying to be holy ourselves rather than relying on the grace and power of God to do that work in us. Because we're going to fall flat and not achieve it.
Yeah. And it's so easy to do. I mean,
I would say a flat answer, which of course will require a lot of discussion, but a flat answer is, are there dangers to holiness as in actual holiness, God's holiness? No.
No. Yeah. No.
Are there dangers to our holiness and our attempts to be holy? So many.
There we go.
I mean, there's so many.
And a better way to frame it up. Yeah.
We can go so wrong in so many ways. And it's so easy to do without even realizing that you're doing it.
And I like what Jeremy said about when we try to do it on our own, because I think we're just, it's drilled into our heads to do things on our own. So we, you know, we're at risk more than we want to be, I think.
Well, and I think there's also, you know, an aspect in that of just misunderstanding Scripture too, because, you know, so many places in Scripture command us to be holy, you know, be perfect. And so, okay, I want to obey, so I'm going to try to be holy and be perfect without the understanding of how to, like we've discussed in the last podcast, you know, of the fact that it's really not us. It's the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. That's the only holiness. Us on our own, we're a mess.
Right. You know. And when we think that we've arrived and we've become more holy or holy, it's when we've departed from holiness, actually, because it's centered in us and what we're doing and what we think. It's all about Barry and where, you know, Barry's arrived, and look at me rather than look at God.
Right.
When we depart from focus, when we go to looking at ourselves rather than focusing people on God and past ourselves to God, that's, we've left holiness.
Completely, and we've also left the possibility of growth spiritually. I mean, ourselves, if we get to that point,
right?
And I compare that to you know, in my prior career in law enforcement, I've met so many officers that had been, you know, working for 15, 20 years, 20 plus years, and a training would come up, and they'd say, "I've been doing this so long, I don't need that training." And I remember even since I was a rookie officer, I thought to myself, if I ever get to the point where I say, I don't need that training, I need to just hang up my badge and gun.
Because you're no longer teachable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know everything, and therefore I can't learn anything else. I feel like I know everything.
I would call that the pharisaical stance.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Pharisees were the example of those who were to be holy, but they were anything but holy, and had really come down to a place where it was about power, prestige, about how others saw you. And that cannot be, that's those fleeting thoughts that the devil wants to put in on you. And you just got to say, no, it's not about me. And the Pharisees are the example, and Jesus uses them when he talks about the Pharisee who goes out on the street corner and says, God, look at me, a sinner, blah, 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 in front of everyone. And he says, you though, you go to your closet, close the door, and pray to your heavenly Father who hears you and knows what you need. And in that, he's talking about humility. That's, if you don't have a humble spirit, then if you think you're getting to that place of holiness, you're probably looking more like a Pharisee. in the eyes of others. I think humility has to be almost the key, because Jesus, what's it say? He humbled himself and took on flesh and became a man. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't have to do that, but he did it for our sake. And maybe that's another aspect of holiness, is we're doing it not for ourselves. We are the recipient of it, but we're doing it so that others might see Christ.
You know, there's that phrase, holier than thou, is I think that's when we're no longer useful on some levels. Mm-hmm. There's a situation in one of my churches, it saddens me to this day just to think about it. There was a person that was coming in that was needy, and in that church, we had voucher system throughout the town. All the churches did a voucher system, and they'd go to a central place and get the help they need. So I gave this person a voucher. And I got ripped up and down, back and forth from one of my congregation members when they left, saying they didn't need anything. Look at their brand new tennis shoes they're wearing. Well, little did they know that those were also a gift from someone else. This was a woman who was living on the streets, who was really trying to put her life back together, who was really focused on trying to be faithful and put God back into her life. And she was really moving in some good direction. And to have a sister in the faith,
a more mature,
supposedly, yeah, basically rip her down and question all her motives, just tore my heart apart.
Yeah.
Is that how could one of my people, what am I doing wrong as a pastor, that they're in that place and that level of judgment and anger?
Mm.
And I think the key is humbleness and recognizing that we're a fellow sinner along the path of life. We're saved by grace, and we should be grateful, and it's out of gratitude that we do these things and we give and we share. And that's where holiness comes from and shows itself. And it departs when we become judgmental and when we become lord over. And that's where the Pharisees
were. Well, and how do we get there? I mean, this is fascinating, because the thought in my mind is that there's the person who's staring down the end of their nose at you, as though you are not good enough, or you're not doing it right. And in thinking of that, if we don't have a sense of humility, then we will naturally gravitate to looking at others and saying, you know, God, I'm better than them. And as soon as that thought comes in, you better throw it down at the foot of the cross.
Yeah, that is a
resist
get behind
the
me
devil
Satan moment.
It is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because when I thought about us talking about a holier than thou attitude, I was thinking of a person that was like that day in and day out, not moments of time. I mean, every one of us has a moment where we look down at somebody.
Right.
It may be in our head and not come out in words, but you know.
And it's
when we feel superior to anyone.
Right. And I think
we're in trouble.
Judging,
absolutely. We're chatting about this before we started recording. One of the ways that manifests, that holier than thou, or that being holy in your own eyes and kind of thinking you're in another echelon, and is that there can be a tendency to no longer reach into the lives of those in need, the lives of the lost, the people with messy lives. And
I don't want to stain myself.
Right. So you're no longer ministering to the people that Jesus came to save. He came to seek and save the lost. So that's a real danger, and you just see the complete opposite in the life of Jesus. I mean, Jesus laid his hands on the leper who no one was supposed to touch to heal him.
He partied with the
tax
collectors,
prostitutes.
He was born in a barn, for goodness sake.
He was born in a barn. Jesus spoke to the woman who, one, was a Samaritan, two, was a woman, and three, had a very messy life, to offer her living water of salvation.
The Samaritan woman,
I mean, Jesus went right into the mess. Yeah. He was perfectly holy too, but his holiness didn't keep him away from those who didn't know the Lord and had a messy life.
So when we get into that place where we don't want to get dirty, where we don't want to engage because we might get dirty, part of it is we forget we even in our supposedly cleaned up lives, it's still pretty messy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that we at some point came from that, if we are saved.
Yeah, if we are saved, but there's still mess in our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know anybody that lives a perfect existence and has a perfect family life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's where I struggle with, like Jeremy, you mentioned the upper echelon of Christianity. And, you know, as human beings, we categorize things and we level things and, you know, more this or more that. First of all, everybody's relationship with Christ is unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
And you can measure, you know, sure, scriptural knowledge or, you know, time as a Christian, you know, how long you've been a Christian or, you know, any number of tangible things that you really can quantify to try to create a tier system in Christianity. And we do that in our minds. And it's horrible because we start placing ourselves somewhere in that. But just like you're saying, Barry, we've all got something.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're all a mess somewhere along the way. I mean, hopefully less.
Even as saved Christians.
Yeah, hopefully
especially
less a mess
as saved Christians.
Today than I was yesterday. Hopefully much less a mess now than I was before I was saved. But
yes.
But we're still all a mess in some way or another. So just because I might be on, if we're making tiers, I mean, I'm on this echelon here, you know, in this other aspect of my life, I might be down here.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't, if we don't have that scope of, Pastor Paul, like you were saying, like just humility in that and understanding that, not only, you know, I'm looking at this from the other perspective, not only will we end up in an area where we don't want to get our hands dirty and we don't want to get in that, the dredges of society, right? Because it would make us look bad to be associating. The people in that position don't want to be ministered to by you at that point either. You're not going to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've created a mutual wall because, you know, and I know this from personal experience because I'm not a cradle to grave Christian, right? I wasn't raised in a church environment my whole childhood. And I met a ton of people that I just, like, I don't, you know, they were maybe trying to witness to me, trying to minister to me, but the approach and the condemnation and the just so upright and
you want to be like me.
And and like this this mask of perfection.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even want to
I
don't want to hear from you. I don't want to be like you.
Well, and it doesn't feel real.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When we look at biblically, we look at Paul or Peter. They messed up.
Oh, my, big time.
And Paul, in one of his last letters, actually, it's Romans, so it's his declarative statement on Christianity, says in Romans 7:18-19, mm-hmm. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And so he confesses this guy who is the creme de la creme confesses, look at, I'm not doing what I want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And so if Paul's got an issue with that, then probably most everyone does. Yeah. Well, let's just say everyone does.
Yes.
And to get past that is to be honest, again, humility, and to recognize that we're all walking in the same world, and we all, if we're truly seeking Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then there is nobody that's unworthy. Amen. If I can become worthy in Christ, then there is nobody who's unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of there's another danger that I wrote down, not look, therefore be acceptable to others. So once we enter into this holiness, this life of holiness, we're gonna create some friction with some other people who think they're holy, but they're not really holy, and it's gonna create some, I guess friction is the right word. So there were that construction guy I talked about last podcast. He was a guy who could create friction. Because he was so heavenly minded. There was a freighter captain on the Great Lakes whom I talked with who had an accident and ended up having to leave that I think it was a brain injury. But he could quote scripture better than anyone I can ever remember. I mean, it was almost not a constant flow, but everything was backed up with scripture. And so he could create friction with people. But he also challenged me just by his presence to know scripture better, you know. So we can either, we'll either create an atmosphere where people will want to join us in this adventure we call life into holiness, or we're going to create others who are going to go, man, who did they think they are?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it creates a, did you see what they did? You know, type of thing. And so there will be friction against the world. Again, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So the pattern of the world is going to come against what you're doing if you're trying to be like Jesus under the power of the influence. And so it's just a, you have, I think for me, you have to be single-minded. You have to surround yourself with other Christians who are seeking. That's where you find some energy. There's a friend of mine early on in my walk, and we were both memorizing scripture, and we would get together weekly, and we talk scripture, and he would tell me how he's doing something. And I'm like, well, if he can do it, I can do it, right? And it's just as far as moving toward Christ, as far as allowing the Holy Spirit to work. And it's that iron sharpening iron.
Yeah, that's a spurring one another on.
Sure. For love and good deeds.
Yeah, right.
I think one of the keys for me is, how are we loving other people? How do we look at them? How do we perceive them? How do we treat them? And trying to do it from the perspective of, how does God look at people? Mm-hmm. He looks at them with love.
Right.
Even if they're as far from him as they can be, if they're Osama bin Laden or Hitler or whomever, God loved them. Mm-hmm. Didn't like what they did, but he loved them. And they were redeemable. You know, they were able to be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to be redeemed, we all are.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's how we treat people that shows whether holiness is at work in our life or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if Jesus could kneel at the feet of his creation and wash their feet, and he calls us to do the exact same thing, is there's nobody that isn't worthy of having their feet washed and being loved on.
And if we can't do that, dirty.
Yeah. And if we can't do that, that's the danger of holiness.
Right.
Now, I'm going to check us here for a moment. We get people coming into the church who, for lack of better words, abuse the system. Mm-hmm. We've got a discretionary fund that will help people. And yet there are people that will just lean into that. And what did one other pastor say to me? If you give to somebody too much, then word will get around and you'll get a ton of phone calls because you're helping people.
Terrible thing.
I know.
Back to the pearl clutching.
Yeah.
So,
what a terrible reputation.
Sometimes, though, if you're going to help somebody get better, you have to say no.
True. And that's on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you don't just send them out the door and say, I'm not going to help you, as you try and provide them a different kind of help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you try and sit down and talk with them and figure out what's going on in their life and why are they repeat, you know, why are they still coming? Because I always have had regulars.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, as a pastor, catch to the perspective. Yeah, sometimes you do more damage than good by continually giving to them. But sometimes it's between them and God and what they do with what I give them. And it's not my job to judge them. But at the same time, if I'm not helping them, I need to figure that out.
The next step forward.
Yeah. And so how do I help them begin to move in some new areas if they're continually in this same place? I'm not helping them.
Yeah, help them find freedom from whatever they're bound in.
Now, sometimes they're just not willing to go there, and that's on them.
Right.
But you can pray for them. You can try and send them to someone who can help them with budgeting or can, you know, do some other things. But just sending them out the door and saying, I won't help you, isn't the answer, I don't think.
Well, yeah, because that goes back to treating treating those people as though they're not, they don't deserve to be in the church.
Exactly.
They don't deserve to be in that building. They don't deserve to receive mm-hmm. our great and holy love, right?
Right.
We don't want to treat anyone like that.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to find creative different ways. It might not be, okay, I'm just giving you X amount of dollars every week. You know, all right, this is obviously something you're using and it's not help right now when you do need some.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, talk to me. Let me come to your home. That's getting down and washing the feet.
Right. And right.
I was thinking that's getting.
It is, but it's hard work, you know, when you have 47,000 other responsibilities.
Right.
Mm. But who else is going to do it? Obviously, they were placed in your path for a reason. And maybe we are the ones that have to break out of our routine for that day and dive deeply into their mess to try and help them. Now, they have to be willing to receive it, but. We have to be willing to dive deep.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. A person we've helped a couple of times came back and asked if we could give him some gas. And so we gave him a $10 gift card. And he looked at it and said, only $10? And I wasn't there. Our administrative assistant did it. And she told me later. And he's like, I deserve better than this. Mm. You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's one of those moments where I think how Jesus has looked at us time and time again, and we say, is this all that I get? And Jesus is like, oh my goodness. Get out of yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, I think we're running out of time, so I will wrap us up. So.
Somebody better.
Yeah, somebody better. So thank you for joining us today. We come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church, now a global Methodist church affiliated with, and we have two services on Sunday. We have a traditional at 9 a.m. and a contemporary at 10:45 a.m. We'd love to have you join us. If you can't come in person, though, you can join us on Facebook Live or YouTube. And if you have any questions or want any other information, Google us. Just Google our name, or you can call the office, 989-732-5380. Couple reminders, we do have a Super Bowl chili cook-off on February the 11th, and we'd love to have you join us for that. And again, if you have any questions, let us know. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.